When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Total Streamers, episode 3. I'm Sybil, I'm joined by Jake. Hello, Jake.
Hello, guys.
And unfortunately for the audience, we have Timothy Annabelle Walsh back. Say hello, Tim.
Yes, that is a regular thing. My middle name does change by depot every single episode.
It's just about a day to me.
It's now Annabelle, so thank you very much.
Right, Trips. Jude Bellingham of our beloved Dortmund, who we've been to see, it was brilliant, has been called up to the senior England squad at the age of 17 years old. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's well deserved. He's been called in due to injuries and whatnot, but I think, you know, with any injuries that happen, there's always like a silver lining for somebody to step in, and I think he's the right man to do it. I mean, he's an absolute gleaming player. You know, you've seen how well he's done in the, I think he's the under-21s, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's been fantastic for them. And even that, you know, Dortmund, he's a phenomenal player. He's got, and you kind of forget that he's 17 years old. And he's like, he's got so much potential.
He doesn't look 17 years old. He looks like big man. He looks like an athlete as well. He's really well built. Yeah. He's really physically.
How good is he going to be in, like, you know, a few years' time? He's good now. I mean, wow. You know, he's going to be absolutely phenomenal if he keeps going the right way.
I'm going to give it a hot take. I reckon by the age of 20 years old, Jude Bellingham will be a regular for England.
100%.
I'd back that, yeah, 100%, definitely. He's talented, isn't he? He looks like you say, he looks like an athlete. Someone so young to have so much like poise and style on the ball, especially in midfield. I think midfield's such a hard position to play anyway, especially for a young lad to come in to, you know, he's gone to Dortmund to a foreign league, and he's, you know, he's just stepped up straight away, and he's like performing, and he's deservedly got himself in the England squad.
And I think they call it doing a Sancho. Sancho.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think he laid the foundation. Sancho's laid the foundation now.
Definitely. Did pave the way forward, didn't he? I mean, he was at a huge club as well, wasn't he? He was Man City's academy.
Yeah.
And he just had the absolute fucking huge cojones to back himself for that move.
The players looking to go to the Bundesliga. I mean, you look at, you know, the guys that they've got now, you know, Erik Haaland went to the Bundesliga. Do you know what I mean? He could have gone anywhere, but he went to Dortmund. And it just shows that there's quite an appeal to go to now. And I think it's a really, well, you know, obviously we've been to see Dortmund play, but you know, it's phenomenal. I think it's a really good league.
It is. We know how good it can be. I mean, what the atmosphere can be like, and I think Dortmund just has just great appeal for any sort of youngster right now because of the talent they've got on display. And you know, if you had a cocky youngster and you're the best at football, wherever you've been, as Jude Bellingham was, of course, he was playing at Birmingham, he had the shirt retired and everything.
Yeah, love.
And he just absolutely backed himself to go there, and he is playing. And he's played in a midfield with really, really experienced players as well, which I think will help him.
I just hope he gets a run on time with, you know, in the England game, you know, because there's also, you know, it's potential he could be put on a bench. But yeah, I just hope he gets a run out.
Well, we did a poll on Twitter. So I asked Twitter, what do we think Jude Bellingham's involvement is going to be in the England-Ireland match on Thursday? And we had 23 votes, which is all right. So we had 9% vote for starting 11, 65% say on as a sub, and 26% say no involvement. So not many people think that he's going to get a start. Not many people think he's going to get a start. I could see him as an outside starter, to be honest.
Potentially, yeah. But you know what? I can't see him starting, but around maybe 65 minutes, I can see him coming on, getting, you know, 25, 30 minutes.
100%. I've seen game, that.
And just sort of seeing what he can do from there, really. I think that could be the best thing for him. If he starts, the expectation goes up again. And we all know how much people expect of England and that side and anyone that starts. So I think it's better for him to come off the bench, personally. That's my opinion. But we'll see what Southgate does, you know, see what he does with it.
Yeah, I'm not...
That's exactly what I would have said. Exactly the same as what I've...
Yeah, I'm not backing that he's going to have no involvement at all. I can see him coming into the training ground, putting on a show and having some involvement. And the thing is, with Gareth Southgate, he's just so in particular with his squads. it's not really about your league form or how well you're doing in your regular football. It's more about what you've done for him, how you've performed for him. I'm not saying Kieran Trippier by any means is doing bad at Atletico, but does he want him playing left back for England?
He's not going to play in our Ben Chilwell's back, surely.
That's the thing, that's, everybody says surely. Look at the display Ross Barkley's been putting in the league.
He's not even
in the squad. I mean, I thought he was absolutely sensational. I thought he'd been brilliant in every game he's played. But
so that's another thing that annoys me about sort of Southgate is when he came in, he said he was going to pick people on their form, and you know, the first couple of squads we sort of saw that. Now that's gone out the window, and it's just, you know, it's just the same old people again, like we've had for since I've been watching England, which has become less frequent over the years. Must admit myself, but.
This is why he's taking, you know, Grealish, you know, he's Gareth Southgate saying about he's taking, you know, players on as, you know, they're in their form. I mean, what's he been? I mean, surely he's not been just, you know, trying to look away every time Jack Grealish comes on and starts playing. And Gareth Southgate's literally just looking away, going, not looking, no.
To be honest, I thought if Grealish could repeat his form of last season, or particularly like late last season and early last season, when he really was, you know, up there. But to be honest, I think he's taken his game, it's another level up. He has been so good. And I think obviously the return of John McGinn and obviously Ross Barkley coming in and having Ollie Watkins to play off and things like that and new additions to the squad have helped his form. But I mean, what does he need to do? He's captain of a Premier League side and he's doing the business every week. I don't understand what he has to. Is it just because if you play for a big club or you have been called up before, that's your only sort of way in?
What does Mason Mount offer that Jack Grealish doesn't? In my opinion, Grealish is twice the player that Mount is. He offers so much.
That's a big shout. Is that your honest opinion? Do you think Jack Grealish is twice the player of Mason Mount?
Yeah, 100%. Look at the club he's doing it at, Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? He's basically doing it on, you know, near enough on his own, you know. He's tried an average Aston Villa side, bar one or two, three players.
We're currently on episode three, and we're already getting hate mail coming through.
Death threats.
There'll be a Mason Mount fan account somewhere threatening my life, but I'm absolutely stand by what I say.
And so you should, Jakey boy. What's your thoughts on that, Tim? Mason Mount or Jackie Grealish?
No, I'm gonna go Jack Grealish every time.
Ask anyone that's not a Chelsea fan and they'll agree.
Yeah.
I do quite like Mason Mount as a player, but if you're asking me to pick him over Jack Grealish, then that's I put on Twitter, right, I was having
you
a
You don't know
a
what
a...
you're talking about. You don't know
I was on Twitter and I was talking to some fans. I was talking to some fans and we were talking about the midfield in England, obviously, because that came up with Jude Bellingham's co-op. And I said I think it would be interesting to see a midfield of Grealish, Bellingham and Rice. and I was just like, leaving out Henderson, leaving two people, JDFM, Frenchie FM, giving me a bit of stick. You're leaving out Henderson, how could you leave out Henderson? And my reply was, Henderson's 30 years old right now. The next major tournament you're going to be at is Euros in 2021. And Henderson will be 31. And the injuries come quicker. And international tournaments can be long. It can be frequent games. So surely you've got to be looking at one for ones. You've got to be giving Rice playing on his own. I understand playing Rice and Henderson at the same time. You sort of get that really defensive, hard-hitting midfield and good at retaining the ball and good at moving the ball around. But if you played Rice on his own and maybe Jackie Grealish and Mason Mount or Jude Bellingham or even Ross Barkley in front of them, I think Rice has got to be, they've got to be looking at having Rice as the central sort of DM and having players to run off him, you know what I mean, in the future.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I love Jordan Henderson, obviously. I'm a Liverpool fan anyway, so you know, I wouldn't hear a bad word said about him, but I can personally
say a bad word about Jordan Henderson.
I can see him sort of retiring from England potentially anyway, you know, not obviously like now, but like in the next couple of years, definitely. I think he'll want to prolong his club career as long as he can. So, you know, you can't really blame him for that. So,
I think he will go to the Euros.
I think it might be after that. If you look at that midfield, you know, there's no one else experienced enough there to sort of, you know, like guide the lads. I've got the list up of the midfielders now, and you know, him and sort of Eric Dier, but arguably isn't a midfielder anymore, is he? Anyway,
Eric Dier is definitely on the fast track to be just a centre back. And nothing else. Yeah. Although Southgate does these weird things where we might see Dier in the midfield alongside Rice or something like that, or alongside Henderson.
I think you know, you're playing, you know, it's Republic of Ireland, isn't it? So mm-hmm. not being like disrespectful to them, but you don't need two holding midfielders in that game.
That's what I was. If they come out and play conservatively,
that's what I mean. You know? It's just playing teams now where we've got such good attacking threats that you don't need to have two holding midfielders because you're taking away an outlet then to go forward and be more creative. And that's the last couple of games in the international break, they've been shocking, absolutely shocking. And England has just been absolutely dire. And yeah, I think there's a lot of like frustration from fans about that.
You consider the talent inside.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The attacking talent on display, and they're doing nothing with it. You know, he's sitting two older midfielders and then wondering why we're not creating anything.
I mean, I totally agree. And they have been really conservative in their playing and stuff like that. And I do think they really could be in preparation. They could be exploring more attacking options, especially when you've got a front three worth about 300, 400 million in the shape of like Jadon Sancho, Raheem Sterling, and Harry Kane.
There's in that front three, but you need someone to give them the ball or nothing happened. They can't do it all on their own, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can even see Dominic Calvert-Lewin forcing his way in, just absolutely forcing his way in by just being so good. If he continues his Premier League form, surely he's got to force himself into a starting spot in that England team.
Absolutely, but then where did you drop Harry Kane? That's the question, isn't it?
I think you play probably more from that. Harry Kane can play a wee bit deeper. You can play with two midfielders, but we'll see. What are your predictions for the England-Ireland game then?
I'm going to go 2-0 England.
Tim?
Yeah, I think that's realistic. I think 2-0. I think 2-0. I mean, obviously it's a friendly, so I think Gareth Southgate's going to be trying a few things. And I know we were saying earlier about Jude Bellingham, you know, coming on, we reckon he's going to come on the 60th minute. But do you know what? I won't be actually that shocked, obviously, seeing as it's a friendly, of just going, oh, do you know what? Let's see what you got. Do you know what I mean? Let's start you.
That's why I'm backing it as an outside chance that he'll start. Yeah. So moving on. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, boys. I'm a huge fan of. I love Zlatan.
Can you just say Ibrahimovic again, please?
Ibrahimovic.
Oh God.
The thing is,
say Kelly Welly.
Right. So let's just pull up his stats here. He's top scorer in Serie A, outscoring Cristiano Ronaldo. And is he 40 years old yet? He's nearly 40 years old.
He's 40.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah.
Age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter when you're a machine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's like, he's insane. But
he's a weapon, isn't he?
But the worst thing about it is that he knows he's insane. That's what makes him Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I'm such a big fan of him. And wait till you see his goals per minute, I think. 8 goals in 5 games, 1 assist, minutes per goal, 56 minutes at 39 years old.
Did you just reel that off the top of your head?
Yes, mate. It's all up here. This is a professional production at the Talk Screamers podcast, HQ. Just behind him is Cristiano Ronaldo, 6 goals in 4 games, 1 assist. And Cristiano Ronaldo's scoring at a rate of 48 minutes per goal. 48 goals per minute.
To be honest, mate, this just highlights that age is just a number, doesn't it? It's, you know, you've got two players that are, you know, well into their 30s now, and it just shows that, you know, these, I mean, a lot of people, don't get me wrong, retire, you know, when they get to 30s kind of thing, but these guys, you know, you look at these players, you think, nah, these guys have still got a few years in them yet. These guys ain't done yet, and I think it's brilliant to see.
Zlatan player manager at 55 years old, calling it now. reference this in 15 years time. But yeah, I think obviously see when it develops in sports science that I've just caught a like. I mean, like, it wasn't that long ago that players were drinking beers in the bus after a Premier League level players were drinking beers in the bus on the way back from an away game.
See, I'm dying.
That was in our lifetimes. That was in our lifetimes that was happening.
That's a life and time that I would have actually became a professional footballer. I'm just born too late. Yeah. It's just going.
If that was the case, I think all three of us would be professional footballers. But yeah, sports science just developed at a stupidly rapid rate. So we're starting to see these players that are just... I mean, you look at the shape that Cristiano Ronaldo's in. You know, you look at him and you think, wow, he's in better shape than... I mean, do you know Cristiano Ronaldo and Charlie Adam are the same age? So Charlie Adam. Charlie Adam looks like he has had 37 years on the beer and fags. To be honest.
Charlie Adam's is like he's had a hard paper round his whole life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he played for St Mirren, mate, so he did. In every sense of the world. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see these players that look after themselves just go on and on and on, and in some cases playing their best football. I mean, obviously Zlatan was injured a couple of years ago, and it took him a while to get back from that, and then he found some good form at LA Galaxy, and just pushed him on from that.
Well, everyone sort of thought, oh, this is it now. He's going to spend 2 or 3 years in LA and then he'll be done. But to go back to Milan and then to tear it up again, yeah. It's like, it's, you know, it's mental.
Used it as a long-term training camp.
I think it was all down to when he went to Man United. That was like the make or break. It was either going to go there and, you know, wasn't going to do that well, or he was going to excel, and hence, you know, but I think, yeah, he went on to LA Galaxy from there, didn't he? And then it was just, but obviously he scored that insane goal for LA Galaxy in the first game, didn't it? It was like, my God.
Came on as a sub and absolutely ripped up the pitch. Insane. Do you think he did do the business at Man United? I think he's somewhere in between. We said he was either going to fail or he was going to do the business. I think he was somewhere in between. I think he did good stuff, but not Zlatan level stuff. He did like good Premier League level, striker level stuff, you know, but not like full on best striker in the league.
He's an enigma though, isn't he? He's mental. It's funny.
His mentality is stupid, you know what I mean?
If you look away from the football, you know, actually playing football side of thing, I mean, if you get players like Ronaldo, Ibrahimovic, you've almost made money on the shirt sales alone, do you know what I mean?
Well, they did, in Juve, they sold like the same amount of shirts they would sell, but with Ronaldo on the back, on top of their sales.
It's like, you know, if Ibrahimovic came the same, I'd probably be buying, I don't know, at least 10 shirts, so I could just give them to my great-grandkids, my great-grandkids.
I think it's almost 11 o'clock in the morning and you've been on the fucking shandies, mate, if you think Zlatan is ever going to go to Southampton.
You watch the next season, St. Ralph will do the business, Zlatan will be rocking up at St. Mary's, stood there, and he'll be ready to tear it up with Danny Ings up front.
You heard it here first, folks.
We'll get Zlatan when he's 60 years old. To the point he's played so much, he's now in a wheelchair. And he's having to have one of like the midfielders actually just push him up. I guarantee it's worth the time.
Yeah, jumps out of chair, overhead kick.
Yeah. That's him, sub him off.
Yeah, get him off. Bring 40-year-old Shane Long on.
Yeah.
Right, enough of the shenanigans. Something serious to talk about. Sheffield Wednesday are without a manager. From what I'm reading online, the two front runners are Sol Campbell and Philip Neville. Thoughts, boys?
I was going to say Philip Neville. I mean, he, I think you just saying, Jake. Isn't he still with the women's national team?
I think he's Team GB now. Oh, still with Team GB.
Right. But I think, you know, he's obviously got the, you know, I don't, Sol Campbell's been a manager somewhere as well, but I don't think.
He was at Southend. He kept them up, didn't he? Or Macclesfield. Yeah. He kept one of those two up.
So he was at Macclesfield. His most recent job in League Two at Southend United. They parted by mutual consent fairly recently. So League Two to Championship is a huge leap for any manager, to be honest. And it doesn't happen that often. Philip Neville has never managed at club level. He did a caretaker's job for Salford United. Salford FC, sorry. Well, pretty much as Salford United. for his brother. I think he's part owner as well. But other than that, yeah. So you're looking at those two and you're thinking, well, is this sort of the best they can come up with? Although, I think Sol Campbell's had a difficult go of it. I mean, he played at a level where he was, I think, Premier League team of the year like three times, two Premier Leagues, two FA Cup, even won a trophy with Spurs, which is a fucking achievement in itself. Not many people could say that.
Yeah.
Was he the team when he did Portsmouth?
Yes, he was.
Fuck yeah, out, there you go.
But we got off that subject completely.
No, we didn't. I thought about Sol Campbell, that he's up for the job.
Yeah, that's fine. Just don't mention Pompey.
Right, so when he was playing for Pompey, I'm not joking. No, I think Sol Campbell, it's players that played at his level, obviously, you know, he captained Arsenal a few times, played for Spurs, won Premier Leagues, and even made it a Champions League Cup final. They've had, like so you look at Lampard and Gerrard, and they've just kind of walked into jobs, haven't they? Because of their reputations. Sol Campbell never got anywhere near that. The only job he could take was Macclesfield. So is he due maybe a chance to play at that level? Because obviously, Sol Campbell never spent any time at clubs at that level. He was at Spurs, and he was at Arsenal, and he was at Pompey, obviously, when they were in the Premier League. And then he did have played with three different teams before his career ended, but he never really played much football. So he's not really spent much time at clubs playing at that level. So, you know what I mean? It's a new start when you go out and manage something. Whereas like Lampard spent all his days at Chelsea, now he's manager, it's just another day at the office. You know what I mean? He knows the ground, he knows the staff, he knows everybody, he knows the club from the ground up, you know. Same with Gerrard, obviously he was at Liverpool for a long time, you know what I mean? And that's a club that's normally compete for trophies. Now he's at Rangers, where you'd expected to compete for trophies every year. So, you know, different clubs, same sort of standards, when you look at relative to the leagues that they play in. So never got that. So I think maybe he's due a wee upturn and look to maybe take on
It'd be good for Sheffield Wednesday because when he kept Macclesfield up, they worked on a really, really, really tight budget, and he'd done a really good job. You know, he took over and they were like in turmoil, and he kept them up under a lot of pressure. And then he went to Southend, and from what I'm reading, he sort of done a fairly decent job there before he left them. So you know, it'd be interesting to see what he could do at Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, they're 23rd in the Championship, so
yep. Only above Derby.
Yeah. Could he keep him up potentially? But, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
A lot of football to play. We've got like 35 games left in the Championship. You know, that's a lot.
Phil Neville, it's a bigger risk for Phil Neville. He's, you know, he's never managed at club level. And to go straight into a team that's struggling, you know, it's a big challenge. Whereas, you know, at least Sol's had that sort of experience in a team that's struggling. So he can, you know, he can call on that. What experience he has got where, you know, what's Phil going to do? Call Gary up. You know, he got sacked from Valencia.
You're saying Phil Neville's not used to, you know, managing at club level. He's going to get to a point where he's like, so I have to go into work every day. yeah, you do, Phil. Like every day, go and train. Yes, you will, Phil. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, that's how club football works.
No, for me, my pick would be out of those two, definitely Sol Campbell. I think he's been there. He's due a bit of luck like that. I would like to see him in a more, you know, in a bigger role with a bigger challenge at Sheffield Wednesday, who are quite a big club. So that's my two cents on it.
That's my pick as well. Yeah, Sol Campbell for the job for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Good boys. And that is us coming to the end of our running time. Thanks very much for everybody for joining.
Come on. We need to announce the first Screamer of the Week.
First Screamer of the Week. Go on, Jake.
So we ran another poll on Twitter to figure out our first screamer of the week.
And it is
the nominees. nominees.
It's Tim Walsh. Spoiler, it's Tim Walsh every week.
Yeah. Our nominees were obviously Luckman for that shocking penalty. Kieran Tierney for his banana legs display and VAR. So boys, who do we reckon took the win there at the free?
Who's it for you, Tim?
I hate VAR every time.
I'm going to go Luckman. I still think it's ridiculous. I've watched it back must have been 50 times. It's just so ridiculous.
Thing is, Luckman and Tierney are funny to watch. VAR is never funny.
True. That's a really valid point. It is a very valid point. Comedy moments or things that are ruining the game. but just 8% is Kieran Tierney. So, you know, well done you for not being our scream of the week.
Second, under the radar because it wasn't on Match of the Day. You got away with one.
VAR came second with 25%. And Luckman bags it by a country mile, 67%. For his terrible impression of a penalty taker. Well done, Luckman, for our first Total Screamers Scream of the Week.
Superb. Now, it's time to end, boys. Thank you very much for joining me, Tim.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
We won't have you again.
Okay, cool. No, you hang up.
Jacob Boy, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, mate. See you next time.
And thank you, the audience, for tuning in to what has been a slog because there's no Premier League stuff. We'll be back on Friday, and we shall speak to you soon. See you, bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.